So for this morning, I did share with Chris what I felt I wanted to share this morning. I wanted to check out with him that he felt that it was appropriate. He does. So if you don't like it, you can bring him.
Thanks, man.
One of the lessons of living in the kingdom, where the King is God our Father and Jesus is Lord, one of the lessons I keep discovering is just how radical that kingdom is. What Jesus said and did as he demonstrated what life in that kingdom looks like was radical and revolutionary, turning my world, my thinking, my motivation, my behavior upside, right way up.
Yeah.
If I let him. And here's one of the dynamics. It's on the screen here. Here's one of the dynamics constantly at work when we allow God to bring his rule, his kingdom into our lives. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn, that means the one of greatest importance, among many brothers and sisters. That's what the firstborn significance was in that culture at that time. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Wow. This passage is a series in itself. I'm only going to focus on one bit of it this morning and then go on to something completely different. But this bit is important for what comes next. We need to be very careful about taking a verse out of its context. If we do that, it's very easy to make a verse mean something the Holy Spirit didn't inspire when it was first written. It's important to read what comes after the verse or before the verse or both if we're going to receive what the Holy Spirit intends us to discover as a word that brings life. Next slide, please, Emma. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. This is the common interpretation I come across over and over again of this verse. I love God. I'm called for a purpose which I already know or I'm in the process of discovering. Therefore, God causes everything to work for my good. And good means, well, any way God chooses to bless me. So it's all good, right? Okay. Now let's go with the flow of what Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and see if he explains what the purpose is we are called to and what the good is God is working in every situation. Next slide, please. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn, the one of greatest importance among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Sorry, I still use old technology. I can't. Anyway, whatever. So the purpose to which we are called, and the good God is working in every circumstance according to what comes immediately after verse 28 is this: to be conformed to the image of the Son, to become more like Jesus in every circumstance and situation of life. Now, I'm sure there are layers to the purpose of God in our lives, personally and corporately, and I'm sure there are many goods God our Father wants to work in our lives too. But I would like to suggest to you that the purpose and good that is the top of God's list in this passage is becoming more like Jesus in every circumstance of life. Becoming like Jesus leads me to a question. Next slide, please. Am I willing to become radical in all the ways Jesus is radical? And am I willing to love in the radical ways he loved? And specifically for this morning, I want to ask the question, what does it look like to be radical like Jesus towards people who set themselves against me? Towards those who intentionally or unintentionally hurt me? Do you have an experience of someone or a group of people who choose distance and not connection? Who speak badly of you and not well? Who choose to find fault in you and not to find good? Who turn others against you and not for you? Who choose bitterness over forgiveness? Choose lies about you over the truth? Who are spiteful towards you and not kind? Does anybody know what that feels like? And if you do, then be assured that God is here by the power of his word and spirit to make that place of pain a place of growth into the likeness of Jesus. Next slide, please. Forgiveness is a powerful and non-negotiable dynamic of the kingdom where Jesus reigns. Next slide, please. From the cross, which was carved out of rejection, betrayal, injustice, hatred, abandonment, mental, emotional, and spiritual abuse and oppression. Next slide, please. From that place, Jesus cries out, Father, forgive them. And radical love overcomes hatred. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And forgiveness overcomes revenge. To be conformed to the image of the Son, to become like Jesus, is to be willing to find grace from God to forgive like Jesus forgave and forgives unconditionally and without any evidence of repentance from those being forgiven. Yeah. Jesus, do I still love you? Forgiveness in the kingdom of God is proactive, not reactive. It is the first response of the heart before anything else is considered. The default heart posture in Jesus' kingdom is love that forgives. Next slide, please. Forgiveness is the first step of loving those who are against me. And it opens the door to other radical expressions of love. Next slide, please. Luke 6, 27 to 28. But to you who are listening, I love the New Living Translation of that particular phrase, but to you willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. Wow. Whose name or which names for you go into those freedom instructions from Jesus this morning? How can you act to do good, to reflect the generosity of heaven to someone who is against you today? Loving my enemy means finding the grace to develop a heart posture that desires their highest good, because that's why Jesus went to the cross for me while I was still his enemy. Jesus, do I still love you? Next slide, please. Love destroys, the love of God destroys retaliation in the hearts of kingdom people. You may have heard the phrase progressive revelation when someone speaks about God's teaching in the Bible. It means that we often discover that there is an unfolding of God's heart and mind through the scriptures. That the first thing God says about something isn't necessarily the last thing he has to say about that thing. For example, you've probably heard the phrase, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It occurs three times in the Old Testament. It upholds the principle of proportional and just punishment for crimes and was a limit on people taking personal revenge. It was a very significant step in limiting retribution. And that is still a very important principle in our justice system today. Next slide, please. But Jesus takes us to another level, from the courtroom of the legal system to the courtroom of the heart. This is what he says to those who call him king of their hearts. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other side. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Jesus, are you joking? I think you know the answer to that question. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Next slide, please. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Jesus, are you joking? Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. What is the radical Jesus going after in my wounded heart? He is speaking in ways that want to make me protest out loud, to show me that revenge and retaliation have no place in a heart ruled by his love. Jesus, do I still love you? When I give my heart to Jesus, I give up the right to be someone else's judge and jury, exacting punishment for the hurt they have caused me. I can give up being their judge and jury for at least two reasons. Firstly, he is the ultimate judge of all men, not me. Genesis 18:25. And nothing is unnoticed by him. We will all have to give an account for our lives to him, including those who have hurt me. And of course, on that day, there will be others looking to him to hold me to account for the hurt I cause them. When I point the finger of blame at someone, I need to check out the three fingers pointing back in my direction. The second thing is this. He is my healer. The cross is not only the place where the sins I have committed have been forgiven and everyone else's, but is also the place where my wounding from the sin of others can be healed. Next slide, please. Let me return to the difference between the courtroom of the heart and the courtroom of the justice system. It is absolutely clear from the law codes of the Old Testament and the teaching of the New Testament that the establishment of the judicial system and means of legal address are part of God's provision for the maintaining of order and safe communities and for the restraining of evil until Jesus' kingdom fully comes. And that provision also maintains the godly principle that others, however imperfectly at times, others hear my case and bring a judgment on behalf of the whole of society. It is not based on me acting in personal revenge and retaliation. There may be times for the upholding of justice or the protection of the innocent that Christians take people to court. Jesus wants us to know that the first courtroom we deal with is the courtroom of our own heart before we go anywhere near a courtroom of the justice system. Next slide, please. Is my heart towards this person or group clean in his eyes? Have I forgiven them from my heart? Is my motivation for going to court one of love, a desire that the outcome will be for their highest good? And sometimes limiting someone's freedom may be for their highest good for a season while they reflect on the damage that they've caused others. Am I free from the desire for personal revenge? Have I let Jesus heal, or am I letting him take me on a journey of healing me from the injury and pain they have caused me? And beyond cases of legal justice and protection, the same is true for facing up someone face to face with any kind of pain they have caused you. The cross reveals the heart of the Father. His love always desires and works for forgiveness and reconciliation from his side of the relationship. If someone's actions have created distance in your relationship with them, God's heart will always be to find the road to reconciliation, to bridge the gap. That cannot be at the cost of minimizing, justifying, or burying the pain you have experienced. Truth spoken in love and grace is a journey God will help you and me walk. But before the process starts, make sure the courtroom of your heart is clean. Next slide, please. Forgiveness is the first step of loving those who are against me. For some of us, forgiveness is the step Jesus is asking us to take this morning. Here are some things we've learned about forgiveness over the years. Next slide, please. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. Forgiveness does not depend on the other person recognizing that they have wronged us. Forgiveness does not pretend sin is not serious. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness doesn't make the other person right. It sets you free. And the process of forgiveness. Forgiveness is from the heart. Next slide, please. You are forgiving whatever the person has done to sin against you, hurt, or offend you. Ask God to forgive you for any unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, revenge, or judgment you have held against them. Renounce those heart attitudes. Choose to forgive them for what they have said, done, or failed to do from your heart. Tell God how what happened made you feel. Ask God to heal your wounds. Ask God to bless that person. When we come to a point when we can genuinely ask God to bless someone who has hurt and injured us or those we love, we have found a place of forgiveness and freedom in our heart that is only possible when Jesus rules. For others of us, the forgiveness issue is settled. But our journey with Jesus this morning is what flows from forgiveness when Jesus is Lord. Next slide, please. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, says Jesus, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill treat you. Now we're going to create space this morning. I'm going to leave that to Chris as to how that is shaped. But we're going to create space this morning for you to respond to whatever Holy Spirit has brought to the surface or spoken into your heart. This is a safe place of freedom and healing this morning. Jesus never asks us to do anything he hasn't done first. Amen. He's been there. Amen. He's done it. It's possible. And he never asks us to be like him without giving us the enabling grace and strength to do it. Because we're becoming more like him. And it's his enabling grace and presence by his Spirit and Word that enables us to be like him. It doesn't come out of our own effort, screwed up determination and will. It's our surrender to allowing him to live his life and his heartbeat through us. Ultimately, this is between each one of us and him this morning. But if you need help or someone to be with you as you step into being more like Jesus, then feel free to respond in whatever ways Chris may shape for us, for others to come alongside and walk this bit of the journey with you this morning. And it may be that it's not just this morning. It may be that this is a pathway that is going to stretch for a few days, weeks, maybe months ahead. But it's a pathway of freedom. It is a pathway of the kingdom coming in your life, your heart, and your relationships. And the other person may never, ever, ever respond. They may never, ever recognize the pain or the hurt they have caused. But you will walk in a place of freedom and healing, no longer trapped by what they did or said. Because Jesus is also here to heal the pain of what was said or done or not said or not done. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is healer. He is deliverer. He is enabler. And he's with you on this journey right here, right now.